Our reading is from Luke chapter 1, taken from verse 26, and it's on page 1012. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
First of all, I'm so grateful for this opportunity, and thank you, Dave, for inviting me and providing this opportunity to share God's word with you. And I'm also grateful to Kevin and Leonard for their wonderful hospitality. I did enjoy my time with them, and really, it's a good time to be here, particularly in New Zealand. I think the difficult question we all face, how do we find our place in God's mission? And individually, we may ask that, how do I find my place in God's mission? What God wants me to do? What is God's will for me? In what way I can contribute in his mission? In which direction he wants me to move or to lead? And not only we as the common Christians face this question, and even the scholars, the people who have the deep knowledge of the Word of God, they even wrestle with this question: how do I find my place in God's mission? What God wants me to do? And in this passage, a young, poor Jewish girl is wrestling with this question: how do I find my place in God's mission? What is my role in God's mission? How do I discover God's will? And she is wrestling with this question. I like to draw your attention particularly to this passage. When we look at this passage with regard to Mary's struggles in finding her place in God's mission, there are three movements in this passage, which I want to highlight from this conversation between an angel of God and a young Jewish girl. And wonderfully recorded by Dr. Luke in his gospel account. And the first movement is from verses 26 to 29, when the angel of God came to Mary and simply said, greetings. And when he said greetings, along with that, the two phrases surprises me. And the greetings was, the peace be with you, the God is with you, and you are highly favored one. And if we read the Byzantine Greek text or the modern Greek text, then a third phrase also comes together. Blessed are you among women. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And blessed are you among women. It's not just a human person is saying these words, these phrases to a young Jewish girl. It's the angel of God, a supernatural being. And the words he is speaking to a young Jewish girl is, you are highly favored. Now look at the Greek text, then it's not a favored by a man, you are highly favored by God. God is favoring you. God, Lord, is with you, and you are blessed among women. Look at the response of Mary when she heard these words. Verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She was greatly troubled. She was confused, perplexed. Why this angel of God? The angel Gabriel is using these words. There might be thousands or millions of angels. We don't know the number. But the two angels particularly we find in the scripture by name is the Michael and the Gabriel. And the Gabriel here is speaking these words to a young Jewish girl. And when she heard that, the Lord is with you, you are highly favored, and you are blessed among women. And she was greatly troubled, perplexed, confused. Who me? The question arises, who me? Who am I to whom the angel of God is speaking these words? Who me? I'm inadequate. I have no capacity. I'm completely junior. Why? The angel of God is using such words for a young, poor Jewish girl living in a town called Nazareth in Galilee. If you look at this passage, and particularly from a human perspective, we might have thought or think the angel made actually a mistake. He must have gone to Jerusalem where all the leadership is there. Religious hierarchy, political hierarchy is in Jerusalem. Why did he go to a town called Nazareth in Galilee? He must have gone to a Jerusalem where all the political and religious leadership, God's temple is there, the Levites and the priests are there. They are involved in the temple activities day and night. He must have gone to Jerusalem. But we know that humans make mistakes, but angels don't. He went to the right place and to the right person and to the right time. But the question is, who me? And we see that when Maggie went to Jerusalem, followed the star to find Jesus, they quickly went to Herod's palace. They thought the king's born in a king's house. This was a sort of a human perspective. But here, an angel of God went to a poor young Jewish girl with a message. Who me? Who am I? I am inadequate. I have no capacity. There are other people as well in the scriptures, we find with the same response. When God called Moses and God asked him, now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh and bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I am insignificant. I am not worthy for this task. I am not an adequate person. Go and find, if you go, particularly in the Exodus chapter 4, ultimately said the Lord, you send someone else. I'm not worthy for this task. Find someone else. I'm inadequate. I'm junior. As we move in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, we find the Gideon, the same response when God called Gideon. The angel of God came and he said that, go in strength you have and save Israel. And Gideon's response, pardon me, my Lord, pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family. My clan is the weakest and I am the least in my family. I am not an adequate person for this task for which you are calling me. And if we look at Jeremiah, when he was called for the prophetic ministry, when God called him to go and speak his word, when God called Jeremiah for prophetic ministry, he said, alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. I am too young. I cannot speak even. I do not know how to speak. He was called for a prophetic ministry. That was the job he was given. He has to go to the people with God's message and to profess it. And he said that, I don't know how to speak. I'm not an adequate person. Go and find someone else. And this is the question here. We find Mary, a young Jewish girl, is wrestling with that. Who am I? Who me? I am inadequate. I am insignificant. And then the angel gave the message. The message the angel gave to Mary is, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. The Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? The first question is, who me? And then the question arises, how me? How it is possible? It is not possible because I am virgin. And her question is very genuine. How it is possible? It is not possible. And the same question raised by Zechariah, if you go back in this chapter and find in verse 18, when Zechariah got the message and that God is going to bless them in their old age, and the same question arises. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. How it is? How us? It is not possible. And I was trying to find, you know, what is the difference between how me of Zechariah and how me of Mary. There is a difference. Because Zechariah's how me, there is a precedent in the history. And being an Israelite, being a priest, he was well aware of the story because their story starts from Abraham. And when God blessed Abraham and Sarah with Isaac, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. And there are many other precedents in the Old Testament when God blessed people in their old age. There is a precedent in the history. But with the Mary, there is no precedent in the history. that the virgin gave birth to a child. And this is what we find, that the Mary's question, "How me," is very genuine. There is no example, there is no precedent in the history. How me? How me? You see that the questions he rose before the angel, how me and who me and how me, and then he reached at the end of this section that she is willing to take up, yes me. And I was thinking, was it very easy for a Mary to say yes me? And particularly with this message, it was not easy for her. Because the culture in which she was living, the context in which she was living, so extremely difficult context. In that context, nobody can expect, not even think with that sort of thing. And my context is somehow the same. And she knew that the consequences which she is going to bear, the price she is going to pay, is a huge price. Probably some of you have read the book Philip Yancey, "The Jesus I Never Knew." He tried to highlight some of the struggles Mary faced and the Jesus faced. Particularly the Mary, you know, how he raised Jesus in that context. And if we read the rabbinic literature, I mean, how they have said about the Mary and the Jesus, they labeled, the rabbis labeled Mary adulteress. And we as the believers, as Christians, we can't even think what sort of things have been said by the rabbis in the rabbinic literature. And Jesus was labeled as an illegitimate child. In that context, and that's not a price for just for a few months. For 30 years she wrestled and she paid that price in that context. And at that time she had no idea how God is going to provide a cover for her and how is God is going to convince Joseph. It was beyond her thinking. But despite all consequences, the price she was going to pay, she said, "Yes me, Lord, yes me, let it be according to your will." Because she understood that this is my role, this is my part which I have to play in God's mission. God has a big mission, but this is my role which I have to play. Knowing all the consequences, knowing all the price which she had to pay, she said, "Yes, me, Lord, yes, I will, I will." And I think this "yes, me" challenges us as well. How do we find our place? There is a place in God's mission for us as individual, as church, as community. But we need to say, "Yes, me, Lord, I'm willing, I am here." As God said to Isaiah, "Who will go for us? Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord, send me, here I am, send me, Lord." God is waiting for our yes. And as Paul gives thanks for the church at Philippi, he says that in verse 3 and 4 in the chapter 1, "I thank my God, prayers for you with joy, your partnership in the gospel." I thank my God for your partnership in the gospel. The basis of Paul's thanksgiving is not only the reception of the gospel, but their active part in proclamation of the gospel. They're quite involved with Paul for the proclamation of the gospel. They played their role as a church in God's big mission. The different things of that church could be highlighted is that they were involved in the actual proclamation of the gospel message to outsiders. They're suffering along with Paul for the gospel's sake. And their intercessory activity. And that church was very much involved in assisting Paul financially for his ministry. But they understood that this is what our role as a church, we have to play in God's big mission for the gospel, for the proclamation of the gospel. We have to play our role. And that church was quite involved in that. And this is what the challenge I really want to share with you and to leave with you this morning. That what the New Zealand church or the Saint Saviors can play its role in God's big mission. You have been doing great jobs. This morning, God really wants us to think, as individual, what my role is. Might be sometimes God makes it clear, but he's waiting our yes. Yes, me Lord, I am willing, I am here, you send me. Doesn't matter how small that role could be. Could be a small role, but God wants us. God is waiting for our yes. Yes, I am willing. I am available. Might be he's not interested in our abilities. He's interested in our availability. And look at these responses of these who said that, who am I? I'm not worthy. God never said that, God, that I disagree with your responses. God agreed with the people, the inadequacies, the insignificance of the people. But the main thing that God said, I am with you, I am with you. God never said, no, you are telling lie. You have so many capabilities. God never said like that. God agreed what the people said. The God responsible, I am with you. And this is what I think I'll want to leave a challenge with you. And it's a challenge for me, for the church in Pakistan as well. Yes, me Lord, I am here. Send me. I am willing to play my role. Doesn't matter how small that is. But I am here. Yes, me. Yes, me. Let us pray. Dear God, Father, we are so grateful to you for your word. The examples of different people, and particularly Mary's example. Actually, for Mary, that was a message of death. But knowing all the consequences, the price she had to pay, she was willing to say, yes, me. Through Mary's example, Lord, you challenge us, being an individual, being as church, and being as a community, to find out our place in your big mission. Lord, I pray for this church, for Dave, for his leadership. Lord, you bless them and use them for the extension of your kingdom, for this big cause of the gospel. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.